Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hosting the Eagles, seeing what Jackson Dart can do in start number three. Giants a little banged up. Philadelphia is not at their best. Maybe a vulnerable spot here. Who knows? We'll see what happens with that. But obviously, bigger task at hand here, BT. It's been all about the Yankees this week. They stayed alive last night with the big win. Keep it going tonight out at the stadium, looking to extend it to potential game five, which would have a tremendous sports week. We have the Yankees on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the Giants Thursday, potentially Yankees Friday, right in the weekend of the Yankees win, obviously setting up the ALCS, the Jets in London and all that.
I was going to say, not many people care about this. I barely do, but even a little Sunday morning, a little Bloody Mary and omelet if you want to do that and watch the Jets get their face kicked in by the Denver Broncos to fall to 0-6.
We should get out of the way early.
I know. By the way, I did like Aaron Glenn's press conference yesterday. I thought he said some good things. I'm not even going to get into it now, but he was pushed by Samini about, I guess I'll give you a quick 15 seconds here. He was asked, if you remember during the preseason, early on, Glenn's like, it's about winning. And then Rich said, basically, hey, do you regret pushing that in that direction so early when you're sitting here 0-5? And I thought Aaron's answer, you guys can go find it on social media, it's all over X, was very smart. Very much representative of what a leader would say. Didn't get rattled, didn't get unnerved and like combustible. I thought he handled it very well and repositioned it in a smart way. So I was proud of that. What does it mean Sunday? Probably nothing. But at least he said the right thing.
Yeah, and it's a tough spot Sunday. I like the idea that the Jets are getting away from everything, going to London. At this time, it's a perfect thing. And also getting kind of covered up by the Jackson Dart stuff and certainly by the Yankees in the postseason. Problem is, I think the Broncos are just...
You love them.
Yeah, they're a whole nother level. Look, anything could happen, but the Broncos, to me, are one of the best teams in football, and I just don't think the Jets can match up at all. I wish it were a little bit softer landing spot. They desperately need to get in the win column here. I don't care how they do it. They have to find a way to get a win and just start changing the narrative and building momentum in the right way. I'm not sure when that's going to come, but it better come sooner than later, because otherwise, if you're looking up at the end of the year and they got one or two wins...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I still think they'd give more rope, but that would be a different discussion.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, the week five, six, schedule's pretty weak. I'm just looking at the Monday games. All right, Bills at Falcons.
Two Monday games. You get the Bills, again, Falcons, and then the Bears and Commanders.
Yeah. You know, but Lions, Chiefs, even though Kansas City's 2-3. All right, that's got a little juice Sunday night. Niners, Bucks will be interesting. You'd have to think that's Nance and Romo. That's 425 CBS. But Titans, Raiders, both teams 1-4. Ravens are 1-4 playing the Rams. You know, I guess Seattle, Jacksonville is a fairly big game. Dallas at Carolina, Browns, Steelers, Pats at the Saints.
Yeah.
Some lame games.
Yeah, not a great slate. In this week six, which we'll obviously dive into over the course of the next couple of days. But baseball's on the mind today. 888-808-1019. Yankees hosting the Blue Jays game four, looking to push this series to the ultimate game five. Tommy is in Franklin Park. What's up, Tommy?
Yes, I want to talk about the first two games in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 10-1 and 13-7. What kind of equipment do the Yankees use to communicate pitcher to catcher?
The pitch com.
Okay, now who supplies that equipment? Toronto?
I don't know. Some company in. I'm assuming
Major League Baseball. I don't think it's a Toronto or New York thing. I'm assuming it's Major League Baseball. What's your point?
I think Toronto was cheating and they tapped into it somehow and they knew what pitches were coming.
Okay, and thanks for the call.
You know what's funny? I texted somebody who's involved in the game. I'll tell you off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of people hinting about that and hinting without wanting to say it and attaching their name to it. Now, we've seen the Yankees do this with their hand, you know, the off-speed, you know, again, with Judge and Rice. We know what the Astros did against many teams, including the Yankees. Even going back to the shot heard around the world with Thompson. That's okay, right? I digital cheating to me is differently. I don't know how you infiltrate unless you are a hacker. And if we're at this point of pro sports and you got people hacking into Austin Wells's PitchCom and then being able to relay it to the Toronto hitters, there was a point where you really could cheat. I don't know how you do that with the PitchCom. I don't know.
Come on. I mean, we've gotten so out of control here, I can't even take it. So what, did the Yankees cheat last night because they put up 9 runs? So every team that has success now is cheating or sign stealing. And by the way, if you steal signs, like that has been, to your point, BT, a part of baseball forever,
yep.
Sign stealing. The Astros took it to another level, which is inexcusable and certainly unacceptable. Banging on the trash can, really, like that can't happen. You're telling me that you think the Blue Jays beat the Yankees that way is because they had the signs? Come on. Or because they were cheating? You didn't even say sign stealing. Said cheating. If they had the signs, maybe was a pitcher tipping. So every time a pitcher gives up a couple of runs now, he's tipping his pitches. Like, it happens all the time. Get over it. Sometimes guys don't execute. Sometimes guys know what's coming. Whatever it may be, it's not every time because a team hits a pitcher hard that they know that they cheated or that they're stealing signs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. I remember there was something with Manaea at one point this year, if I remember that right. And obviously, Weaver's going through that now, I guess. You know, he hasn't, again, overtly come out and said it, but that's what he's kind of dancing around here. But that's why I say, like, think about this, guys.
Helsley had an issue with the tipping pitches.
He did, yes, Brett, for sure. Like, to me, that's such a deeper level of sophistication because if you really are cheating on the pitch comp, which I don't believe is happening, you are enlisting the efforts of a hacker to be able to do that. It's not the same as somebody gripping the baseball or the hotel out in center field in Toronto or Judge doing something with his shoulders. I don't believe in that.
The PitchCom was supposed to eliminate all this stuff.
I know.
And yet it's still talked about, always tipping, he's tipping. Now, maybe it is a lot easier to be caught tipping pitches now because of all the access to the video. Forget the PitchCom for a second. But if you're watching video as a hitter, as an offense, whatever, as a front office, and you're breaking it down frame by frame, I'm sure they have guys that are hired to do that specific thing.
Like, 1,000,000%.
Yeah, so, okay, well, look, if he flaps his glove out a half a millimeter, it's going to be a curve. But whatever it may be, teams pick up on that, as they should be trying to do.
Yep.
I don't know how you would totally eliminate it with technology being the way that it is in today's game, but that to me would be excusing the Yankees for a poor performance in the first two games, or vice versa, you know, blaming the Yankees for having success last night because they knew it was coming. Hey, and the Blue Jays did that too. The Blue Jays manager himself said it. Oh, the Yankees are only good when they know what's coming. Okay, well, we'll find out. And right now, he better hope that his team hangs on.
So in the 80s, Mattingly would walk in on game day, and whether it was Pinella, whomever, hitting coach, managers, former skippers, all right, what is this guy? Hey, he's a slider, fastball, throw a little changeup just to kind of keep you off speed here and there. Like, that was basically the extent. You might have, you know, I know Buck was into this, so as you get to the early 90s when he came to manage the Yankees, you get the maybe the binder, you get maybe a little bit more in-depth tendencies. Hey, when he's up 2-0 or 3-0 or 0-2, he'll do that. And if you're a smart hitter and you want to put the work in, you can glean an advantage a little bit. But if you are today with everybody on high alert, right, the way people cheat and have cheated and the history of documented cheaters now, if you are allowing somebody else to cheat off of you, that's on you, unless it's a hacker. Then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
then the world is doomed at that point.
I was just going to say, BT, if we get to that point, like, come
just,
on.
I'm tapping out, then I'm done with
sports. What the hell are we doing here? Pitchers tip pitches all the time. Yankees could be looking for, we saw it, the Yankees flailing their arms from second base.
Judge.
Trying to grab a sign or whatever it may be. Like, that. Hey, that's part of it. You got to do your job as the opponent to make sure that that doesn't happen. So I thought it was sour grapes from John Schneider talking about it. And forget even sour grapes, I thought it was disrespectful to say that they're good when they know what's coming.
100%.
Yeah, like, so that's why it was, to me, always going to be great payback for the Yankees once they beat Toronto, whether it be for the division or now in this division series here. But there's still work to be done with the Yankees. And when they do, I hope that we see Boone, Judge, anybody, Michael Kay, anybody who's gotten into it at all with Toronto, I hope they dunk on the Blue Jays and embarrass them for the paper tigers that they are.
There could be some very aggressive victory laps, but we're not there yet, but there could be. There's no doubt. Those things are already probably in the draft mode and get ready to hit enter. You know, the thing too, like, I would not, if I'm a hitter, I would not necessarily want to know what's coming Because if you're wrong, and I'm expecting 98, or if I'm expecting 84 mile per hour slider or changeup, and that thing's 100, like whoa. But what I would do, outside of the Marlins, a little bit with Toronto, ironically, most teams' catchers call the games. Like, it's right. not like the old days where you'd have the manager, like in high school and college, doing the signs to the catcher, and then the catcher does it. The catchers call the game, and then most pitchers have the ability to shake off. What I would do, like if I'm Toronto and they really think the Yanks are cheating, you know what I would do? I would put my, once I see Judge's arm go up or whatever we think is there relaying the signs, if I'm the coach, I would then, I would do something to the catcher and I would throw it right under his chin at 100 miles an hour.
Right.
I swear to God.
That's old
school. Yes. Now, again, that's not, that, I'm not saying you hit somebody, but if you want to be so brazen to take our signs, even though it's not digitally and it's not cheating, it's more gamesmanship, well, then I'm okay to hammer one underneath your chin. And if I miss and I hit you in the shoulder, whatever, well, that's tough. If you're going to do that, be prepared to catch heat under your chin. I don't know why nobody does that. Everybody's scared to do that.
Dominic calling from Wayne. What's up, Dominic?
Yeah, well, look, the Blue Jays are 54-27 at home. On the road, they were 40-41 during the regular season.
Yeah.
Right? When they played the Yankees, they were 4-2 during the season. The Yankees were 4-2 against them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think they were like 1-8 or something like that. And there's got to be something going on. You just can't, you know, look, there's no proof of it, but stealing a sign from, like, when you're standing on second base and putting your hand up is different than maybe electronic stealing.
Great.
And somebody should look at it.
I agree.
Right, but what makes you think that something's going on?
Look at the numbers.
Okay,
look at the numbers.
What if I told you how many professional athletes without doing PEDs have hit 62 home runs in the last, I don't know, 70 years?
That's a whole other thing.
No, it's not actually. And thank you for the call. If your logic is, well, something's got to be going on because they've been so good at home and just average on the road, then couldn't somebody say, well, something's got to be going on with a player who hit 62 home runs when nobody's ever done that since 1961? Nobody's done it before without being on PEDs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that doesn't make any sense. There's got to be some kind of legitimacy to it, or
some type of accomplishment, like actual human accomplishment, where it's not always fueled by cheating.
I'm saying there's got to be a reason to insinuate or to expect that somebody's cheating.
Yeah,
it can't just be, well, the Blue Jays are good at home, therefore they must be cheating.
Yeah, now I don't think they're cheating though. But what about, is this enough? Is this more than insinuation? And again, I don't believe this at all. But if the Toronto, we'll use them now, the Toronto performance is so much higher. I'm not even wins and losses,
right,
home versus. I'm talking about offensive output in their stadium versus the other stadiums. Is that enough to at least have a conversation? I don't think they're cheating like that. I don't know.
I mean, I probably would have been ignorant or naive to the fact that the Astros were banging trash cans, so I don't know. I'd have a hard time thinking teams would be that stupid to do that right now.
Yep.
I don't think the Blue Jays are particularly good, so I don't even think they're good. If they are cheating, they're not doing it well enough. Then they should have ran away with the division. You're going to tell me because the Blue Jays are 54-27 at home and 40-41 away that there's something to it, that they're cheating?
No, and I'm going to give you evidence as to why I don't believe that.
Yeah.
So the Phillies won the East. The Phillies were 41-40 on the road. Okay,
right.
Now we know how they look now, but we're talking big picture, right? The Marlins were 41-40 on the road. The Brewers, now they had the best road record, I think, but the Cubs won 90-something games.
Well, the difference between 52 and 45 wins is fewer for the Brewers.
That's
Same thing
true.
With the Yankees. Like, the Yankees won 50 games at home. They won 44 on the road. So there's more of a balance there.
Plus six.
Yeah, than 54 at home and 40 away.
Yep, that's true. I mean, even the Cubs, who were 92 wins, I mean, they had 42 wins on the road. And you take a team like the Dodgers, who won 93, they were 41-40 on the road, like the Phillies. So, listen, there's a little randomness here. There's a little circumstance here. I understand. I have long been of the mindset, really, and you want to call me naive on this, you want to call me a homer, that's fine. I truly believe with all of my heart that Aaron Judge is doing this the right way.
Yeah.
I don't believe, and I don't think you're insinuating otherwise.
No.
I know you're not.
No, me too, but I'm just
saying. I don't think there's
like
any PEDs. And other people I really don't trust. I won't even name names. I think he's really, truly doing it the authentic way. But him aside, I am so uber critical and skeptical because so many people have cheated over the years that it wouldn't stun me, but if I fixate on it, I won't enjoy the games. I almost choose to, I don't want to say ignore because that's not doing my job, but to make it a primary story for me, eh, whatever. Go play baseball. Hit, catch the ball, and pitch.
I think people are just always looking for a reason for to excuse either their team or a player.
Yeah, why is that?
We don't get that a lot. And by the way, we could criticize it more years ago, but then when you do have a team like the Astros who does get nailed for cheating, it does bring more legitimacy to it, or fraud referees. Like, there's always the conspiracy theory that, this ump is on the take, or this ref is on the take, and no, that actually happens.
There were some.
There is evidence. Do that. Huh? Duke of Madness calling from Boston. What's up, Duke?
Our guy, Duke.
What's up, guys? Duke-y! Yeah, ready to win another game in New York. Woo! Let's go, Yankees.
Duke.
I'm hit. Yeah.
How about you win last night?
500.
Okay, that a boy.
What's on the line tonight,
Not
Duke?
A lot. Not a lot, but I hit the Mariners too earlier, so that was
good. How old did you say he was? 60? Seven? Think, you shouldn't need it by then.
Yeah. We had some slip-ups with the Yankee starter for tonight. That was not a slip-up, in fact. That was a direct shot across the bow right there.
Could be called the day, though, Sal.
With a curse. Good job.
With some censoring, perhaps.
Good job there, Duke. Wonder what the action is going to be tonight. The Yankees are big favorites tonight, aren't they? Like,
I don't have the number, but remember, we were talking about this yesterday, if you think the Yankees were going to win last night, then you should have jumped in. If you gamble, plus 450 Yankees to win in five. That was the play.
They are minus 180 tonight. So
yeah, you don't touch that, dude. Unless you go minus 1.5.
Yeah, or you just, the way that I will do it, and I will do this, I will parlay them money line with taking their team total,
which is four plus.
You could pick what it is.
Oh, that's right. You could adjust that.
Yeah, nowadays you could adjust that stuff. So that would be the way to do it. The only reason why you wouldn't do the series bet in that particular case is
going back to yesterday.
Yeah,
why?
Is because you cash out yesterday. You could cash out again tonight. If you do the series bet, you don't cash out, you could still potentially lose that in game five. I get what you're saying. The odds.
I'm just thinking value.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean?
Understood, but then there's the... I think if you bet them every day, just straight, even if it is, off by 150 to 100...
I know what you're saying.
It would add up the same way that it would if you just bet the series price. They're probably going to be not underdogs, I wouldn't think, but at least even money.
Think about this. Yeah, but I don't know because... I really don't know, but if the Yankees are minus 180 tonight and you don't mess around and do parlays or... Minus 1.5. You just go straight up 180. So to win 100, you got to lay 180, okay? So if you bet last night, Yankees were...
Let's just say 150. Okay, might have been even more, 160, whatever. But
okay, so...
Even number, do 150.
Okay, so they were minus 150, and now you're laying... So I'm gonna add it. So that's 330 if I did 180, 150, 330, and you're laying $200... Oh, pardon me. You're laying 330 to win 200 versus laying, say, if you go a C-note... And you win all three at plus 440. To me, that's just a more intelligent bet.
Right. Well, you're minimizing.
You got to win all three games, otherwise you do nothing.
Exactly.
I get it.
And you're minimizing your loss, right?
Yes.
With just the 100 there. All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no way on earth I'm pitching to Aaron Judge. I'm just not doing it. So he had that thought process earlier on in the process, early on in the season, regular season. Last night he got away from that in that big spot. Some would argue you have to pitch to him there with first and second. Some would say that there's a base open. I have a hard time, A, pitching to him, B, pitching to him with a guy that has already hit two home runs off of him, five at bats. But if you're the Blue Jays and Schneider, you got to figure out a way to navigate the Yankee lineup without having Aaron Judge beat you, period, end of story.
That's a given. And it's not even like I'm going to trust, even if it's, a veteran, depending upon what point of the game it is. I don't even know if I trust that pitcher to throw it way off the plate. and try to entice Judge to chase. I think I just put four. Let's go. Put him on first base. You know, we were talking a lot yesterday, and you nor I think that Judge has choked, or it's just, you know, a little circumstance or whatever. Before last night, that's obviously been a big theme for Aaron.
Right, meaning that we didn't think that he could. The moment was too big for him. That wasn't the case.
Not so at all.
Not clutch.
Now, some, by the way, did. Yeah, but I'm just saying where you and I stood. To me, and I always said, like, when you choking to me is when you deviate from doing something so naturally, either because your focus is compromised or your heartbeat is sped up because you're overwhelmed by the situation. And I got to tell you, I think that Schneider choked last night in the dugout because he did the exact opposite of what he's been doing all years, but he was walking him in May.
Made no sense. The only kind of respect I have for Schneider in that spot is, even though I think it is beyond stupid to bring in a pitcher to face Judge in that spot where, like, everybody in the world can feel it. Okay, I'm sure you were getting the same thing, whether it's you and Colt, you're texting buddies.
No, we were so excited.
Okay, my buddies texted me the same thing. We all knew Aaron Judge was going to hit a home run there. Schneider had to have had that feeling there as well, so that's why it didn't make any sense. But the only thing I give him respect for is it was kind of a Ricky Vaughn move where, even though this pitcher didn't have success against this hitter, it's like, I just got a hunch. I'm going to go against the numbers and play my best bullpen arm, right-handed guy who's been nasty, and go against
Ricky
Judge.
Vaughn.
Yeah, remember when Lou Brown writes that? Yeah. So Brown goes, I got a hunch or whatever. Him the heater, Ricky. Like, bringing in Vaughn? Yeah, you're going to bring in Vaughn to face the guy that's beat him before because he feels like he's going to get him in that spot, even though the numbers would say otherwise. So I respect going against the numbers. However, it was just stupid. When you had a base open, you had a three-run lead, you didn't need to play with fire and run the risk and prove anything there. You don't have to go after him, and you didn't have to go after him with a guy. There might be a different spot that you want to do that with. That wasn't the right spot to bring in a guy that gave up two homers to him.
I forgot. Did you wind up seeing the whole Charlie Sheen documentary?
I did. I loved it.
How great was that? How wild was he? Good God Almighty.
I mean, wow. Wild, dude.
Yes.
Wild. But still seems like a good-hearted...
I agree.
I don't know enough, but he came across likable.
Yes, he doesn't come across, like, detached from wanting people to be happy.
Yeah.
Like unnaturally callous. Like, he made a million mistakes.
Yeah.
But he seems like a pretty decent guy. It's not as nutty as that sounds.
Lived a hell of a life, too. And he's still pretty happy, Hoff, and healthy, too.
He just is. He loves to extend his menus.
Yes, he likes the other side of the menu.
Yes.
Certain drugs would do to you there. But yeah, he's a diehard baseball fan, Charlie Sheen.
By the way, when he was shooting Bull Durham, they said he was throwing, I think it was in the documentary.
Major League,
as well. You mean. What did I say? Bull Durham? Yeah, thank you. That's obviously Kevin Costner. But he was throwing, you know, there was no simulation or stand-ins. He was throwing 86, 87 from the mound when they were filming Major League.
I just saw a clip today, and I don't know when this aired. I don't know if it was recent or not. I just saw a clip on the Rich Eisen podcast, came across my social media, that Charlie Sheen was saying when he was filming that he would have to throw 100, 115, 120 pitches in consecutive days. There was no every 5 days he goes out there because they're filming a movie, not going through a regular rotation.
Yeah.
So his arm, he said there were repercussions of that. But imagine throwing 115, 120 pitches every day trying to get some of those scenes right.
I'm sure he wasn't using ice to dull the pain.
Oh, he said he's probably tapping
into something else even then, you know. But, hey, no pitch counts, not in the 80s.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Anthony's in Tom's River. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
Hey, BT, Sal. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's up, Ant?
Pretty good.
Good. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I mean, obviously, watching this series, I thought the Yankees were dead to rights yesterday. But should they win tonight, which, you know, isn't inconceivable, and they go to Toronto, do you start Max Fried game 5? I know that sounds ridiculous.
You have to.
I mean, he's a $200 million man, but he has looked so terrible.
You have to. What's the option?
Yeah. What else would you do?
I guess you could start out with Heald.
Get the heck. No way. Luis Heald?
Come on, man.
I know they're not going to do that.
Okay, for good reason.
No, I understand that. I know Boone will send out Fried, but I guess the bigger issue here is that Fried does have a problem pitching to the Blue Jays and pitching in Toronto.
He's got to figure it out. he's brought here to beat the best teams in the biggest spots, so he's got to figure it out. But I'd rather go down with Fried. I don't care if Fried gives up 15 runs in the first inning. I'm going down with my ace. He's your ace. You got to pitch him.
To be fair, okay, so if that is the case, how short of a leash do you think Boone gives him, or do you think he gives an ample opportunity for him to figure it out?
Yeah, that's probably the money one. Thank you for the call. I think the leash would probably be equivalent to just about any other starter based on the Game 5 finality. If you win, you move on. If you lose, you're done. I mean, maybe...
I would trust him, though, more than I would the others.
Like, me too. Outside of Schlittler, maybe, at this point. More than Rodon, more than Hill, more than Warren. No question about it.
He's your ace. If there is a point in Game 5, assuming the Yankees win tonight, and it's a fair assumption, I mean, they are 2-1 favorites. Look, anything could happen, we know that, but clearly tonight's matchup favors the Yankees. Assuming there's a Game 5, if you have to worry about pulling Max Fried out early in that game, you're in... big, big, big trouble. So I personally would wait to try to squeeze every last ounce out of my starting pitcher, my ace, possible before I went over to the pen.
Yeah, I mean, listen, guys, there's different layers of greatness, clearly. Like, Vladdy's amazing. He's not quite Aaron Judge. And Fried is amazing, but he's not quite Scooble. All right. So, but when you are great, and he is great, whatever level of greatness, you can figure it out for yourself. I'm sure it's subjective. He's great. That's undeniable. And when you're great at something, that's like when the body and the mind are fully in sync and pride kicks in. So he was so bad, just demonstrably bad, that you would have to think that his mind will kind of take over, and he will be able to kind of fix and address what deserted him in that start. Now, that doesn't mean he's going
to
come out.
I would trust him to bounce back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That doesn't mean he comes out and he spins, you know, 8 1/3, 3 hits, 12 strikeouts. No. That's not really Max Fried. And by the way, he was throwing 99 too much. That's also not Max Fried. That's more Schlittler. His velo, he's more of a mix-in and a matcher, and he goes up hard when he has to. I would think that somebody like Max Fried, if he pitches Game 5, would absolutely bounce back.
Yeah, like you said, it doesn't mean bounce back to the tune of a, you know, 8-inning shutout, but certainly better than what he did last time out. Drew is calling from Stony Point. What's up, Drew?
What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys, just my take on the game. Great, great that Judge, you know, steps out and hits that big home run, but just that they put the ball in play last night was amazing. It's only 6 strikeouts. Toronto struck out 11 times. You put the ball in play, 2 miscues by Toronto leads the Yankee runs. You know, that's a big plus. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't up there striking out Tulpe, unfortunately, 3 times.
Yeah.
Just one other thing. I thought the home plate umpire had an excellent game.
Mm.
You know, his strike zones was right there.
He screwed Rodon early.
Yeah, one pitch on the outside.
It's a big one.
Well, no, there was a pitch one up high in the zone. The batter before Schneider, right? Before
Schneider
Guerrero.
Too.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Drew.
I thought
he was shaky on a couple of specific cases. Now, Rodon's got to handle a better end of story, but he's just not that temperament. You could see it. Go back and watch it. That specific pitch there, where it was ball 4, it showed on the screen that it should have been a strike.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodon was like, what the hell was that? Motioning, looking, moving his glove in a certain way. Like, are you kidding me? Where was that pitch? Gives up the 2-run homer to Vladdy, changes everything. And then it happened again in another at-bat. I forget exactly which inning, but you could see Rodon getting frustrated.
I think it may have been Varsho.
But it was the same thing. The high strike was not being called consistently, and it did throw, I thought, Rodon off the game early on. I'm not trying to make excuses for him.
No.
I don't trust him.
No.
But you can clearly see it, that the home plate ump squeezed him on a couple of pitches, and it impacted the entire performance for Rodon.
But what I'm mad at myself for is that, and it was a little mental regression on his part, and I thought that that's what he was past. Because everybody knows he's got good stuff. You know. Now, last night, I thought the velo was a little down. I saw a lot of 92s. I'm like, you know, not that he's ever going to be 98, 99. But generally, when he's got to crank something up with a fastball, it's going to be 95, 96. Usually not more than that. I just didn't love the radar either way. So maybe he didn't have his great stuff, and that happens. Fried didn't have it the other night as well. But I was surprised. And not more disappointed, because I thought he was past that immaturity. Now, maybe he gets back out there if they're in the next round and he's back to being settled, but he definitely took a step back. He was immature last night.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
The BT and Sal Show on The Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. Tony is in the Bronx. What's up, Tony?
Listen, the great game last night. You know, I can't say that enough. You guys are touching on all the key points. I love it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Tonight, if Schlitter gets in trouble, when do you pull him? Do you give him a short leash or long leash? I want you to touch on that. And also, with Vladimir Guerrero,
yep. You
can't let this guy beat you because he's Big Papi reincarnated. Oh, he's
different matchup, though, tonight.
He's frightening.
Different matchup tonight.
You walk him.
No. I'm not walking him. I'm going after him tonight if I'm Schlitter.
Sal, you're wrong. You can't let this guy beat you. You can't let him beat you, Sal.
Well, what are you going to do? Wait. Walk him in every time he comes up in every situation? Like, to
they
me...
What did it with Bonds? He walked in with the bases loaded.
That's true.
He's
not Bonds.
I'm asking you, what would you do? What would you do? Walk him every time, no matter what the situation is?
You pitch to him. No one's on base. You pitch to the man.
Okay.
Someone's on
what about one guy on?
You know, depending on the circumstances, you walk him. You do not let this guy beat you.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Yeah, I mean, I'd be careful with Vlad. I'm not going to be pitching around him the way that I would Aaron Judge. He's not Bonds. He's not Judge. He's owned the Yankees. But I do think that Cam Schlitter is a much, much different matchup than Fried or certainly Rodon.
I will tell you, man, and I mean, this is a pretty basic statement. He terrifies me. Number one, he's always been really, really good, but he's also in a real zone right now. You know, and not everybody loves this or cares about it, whatever. But they did talk a little bit over the course of the couple of games here where he's just not a launch angle guy. So his swing is kind of more slump-proof. Talking about Vladdy, yeah. You know, just contrasted to Judge, where Judge gets a little bit more loft and... You know, I remember the hard ground ball base hit that he had last night. He was actually able to hit it into the ground. Usually hit it in the ground. It's not going to be a base hit too often. So he's got that old school approach that his dad taught him, where he's got that timing mechanism with his front foot. And he's an old school approach. He's a stud, man.
The other thing that I would say is not only is Vlad not Judge, but even if you just say, well, against the Yankees, he's been like Judge. Okay, fair enough. I am not, if I'm the Yankees, putting guys on base with a lineup that is putting the bat on the ball. Whereas the other way around, nobody else in the Yankee lineup is anywhere near Judge's level, and also they do have a propensity to strike out a lot more.
So
while it might be more scary than it was in years past behind Judge, they could still strike out a ton. So I'd rather put Judge on and then just be nasty with the rest of the guys behind him and get them to chase, which they've done.
And think about how much different the Yankees would look if they had a prototypical leadoff hitter. You know, Grisham against these average teams, and he had a double last night. Listen, he could crank a home run tonight, and he's a hero, so whatever. I've enjoyed watching him play. I don't know if I'd give him a big contract, but we'll talk about that in the winter. But he just has so many swing and misses and so many empty at-bats against quality pitching. You know, Volpe's not the answer. Jazz is not the answer. He is not the answer. Caballero's probably not even going to play. He's not the answer. It's not a lefty, so it's not going to be Goldschmidt tonight.
They need to find somebody.
They got to get a leadoff guy.
They need to. Last year, they were at their best with Torres and Soto in front of Judge. So much was being made about who's behind him.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the guys on in front of him, you have to pitch to him. More often than not, if you pitch to Judge, he is going to make you pay. So I think it's more imperative the guys in front of him than the guys behind him. And when you hit him two, now the guys in front of him are going to be the bottom of the order, and they're not getting on nearly enough. I'd have him hit third. I think the ideal way would be to get a real leadoff. That's why last year I thought it was great with Torres, Soto, and then Aaron Judge.
Yeah, it's funny because they mentioned this last night where I agree with you. I think it's more important what's in front of Judge.
Right.
But when it comes to Stanton, for his propensity to expand the zone and get into these funks, which Judge, knock on wood, generally doesn't do, you need more life behind Stanton. You need more protection behind Stanton. Because you want something more in front of Judge.
Because you can pitch to Stanton and get him out.
No question.
That's the thing. That's the issue here. Ray is calling from Fairlawn. What's up, Ray?
What's up, Ray?
Hey, Don, you guys just pretty much addressed my question. I was wondering if you guys would move Judge in the order based on the fact that they're going to walk him.
Not tonight. I wouldn't. I think they've had, what, three straight games, entire the same lineup. You probably get it four. I just checked their Twitter accounts. Not out yet. 10 minutes to 2. So Evan and Tiki will have it for you. They're live at the stadium.
I will not
mess around.
I think it's a good question.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you for the call. Let me think this out for a second. So knowing that the Blue Jays are likely not going to pitch to Judge, then for me, I wouldn't have him down in the order. I think the two spot is the proper spot if you assume that they're going to pitch around him, mm-hmm. especially with the way the Yankees are structured. Ideally, I'd like him third, but if you're pitching around him, then it's going to be up to the guys behind him to do the job. If you move him down, you're only putting, you see what I'm saying? Like you're the guys in front of him are going to be maybe easier to get out, and then you can pitch around him more so. So I would rather take my chances with knowing that he's going to get on and go with, you know, maybe Rice I would have behind him as opposed to Bellinger. I really think Rice is going to get hot, but I get it with Bellinger behind him. I mean, what are you supposed to do? They got their guy. Hey, bottom line is Rice has to hit, Bellinger has to hit, Stan has to hit,
Jazz has to hit. McMahon, I mean, just catch it. He was out of the game early. Volpe's a mess.
How would it benefit, though, the Yankees if they were to move Judge down?
I don't think it would. You might lose it at bat. It could actually penalize you.
Right, and in that case, it would be more than, would you rather it come down to more on Grisham and whoever else you put in the two-hole? Who would you put in the two-hole, Rice, in front of him?
I would keep Judge there.
I'm saying if you
did move him three, I don't want to go lefty-lefty, even though I do like Rice. Dude, I don't think there's anybody really equipped. I don't think anybody's earned.
Well, that's kind of
the two-hole. If you're going to put, like, no.
The higher you bat him, the more it's on the guys behind him. If you bat him third, the more it's going to be on the guys in front of him, which are likely going to be Grisham and Rice, who's been cold this series.
You're not putting Jazz at the two spot. You're not putting Stanton up there. Volpe, no way. I mean, Wells is showing flickers of life. Some good at bats, but no, he's at the bottom of the order now. I mean, so you do think we get the same lineup? You think we get Grisham? So it's Grisham, Judge, Belly, Rice, Stanton, Jazz, McMahon, Volpe, Wells.
Yeah, why would he mess with it? I do the same exact thing.
I'm just trying to think.
I love it.
Yeah, I
four
do too.
Games in a row.
I do too.
Same
I do
lineup.
Too. I'm just trying to think if I'd mess around with if I would flip. Nah, I'm not going to flip Jazz and Stanton. I'm not going to overthink it. I'd probably keep it as well.
Evan calling from Long Island. What's up, Evan?
Hey, Ev.
Hey, guys. BT, you, Sal, you guys are awesome. Thank you. I want your opinion on something. A prior caller mentioned Anthony Volpe's name, and I wasn't sure if it was Sal or BT. I heard someone make, like, a sigh, which leads me to the question. Guys, he looked horrible yesterday. I think we all realize he's somewhat lost.
Yeah.
And with all of these discussions regarding pitching around Aaron Judge, do you guys believe it's time? I mean, look at the bottom third of our lineup. McMahon, Volpe, and Wells. I know Wells has had an occasional big hit, but that's like dead wood. So is it time, maybe today, maybe whether it's Ahmad Rosario, who certainly hits better than Volpe or even Caballero, is it time to replace Volpe in the lineup?
No, because he's catching the baseball. Now, what I worry about here, and thank you for the call, is what happened when he really went into that funk is, I'm trying to remember, was it the hitting funk that led to the fielding? I think it was the hitting that led to the unraveling on defense. He's catching the baseball. He's made some big plays. The Red Sox series, we've referenced those two critical plays there. Catching the ball cleanly against Toronto. He's a better shortstop than Rosario. He's a better shortstop than Caballero. Now, you want to go, if you talk about the lefty-lefty stuff, I also, and you've said this, and I think you're right, as much as I like Caballero, I thought he got hurt last. I thought he had one of those handmade issues when he hurt his hand last night, but then he had a base hit to right field. I like having the ability to deploy him late in the game. I'm comfortable when Rosario's up there, but I also like McMahon. So I'm not looking to get McMahon out of the game, but I'm not sitting Volpe tonight. No.
Yeah, I'll trust Boone to handle that the way that he did last night. I thought it was fine going to Rosario when he did. I don't think you could take Volpe out because of his defense specifically. His at-bats, he's looked overmatched. I mean, we had people calling us after the first two games of the postseason talking about, hey, Volpe's great, put him back in the Hall of Fame. I'm being facetious somewhat here because that was kind of the talk about after Volpe had the home run against Crochet.
Well, they're saying October Volpe.
He was all of a sudden a hero. And then you watch him, and I'm not even going based off of the numbers or even the strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving non-competitive at-bats with swings that make you think he's just overmatched. And mentally not, like, to me, I think it's a mental thing. I do not think it's a physical thing. I think mentally, Volpe is just lost. Dude, come on. He's not swinging like a major leaguer.
It's
half-assing it with the check swing, throwing the bat, you know, and then the dugout. Like, Volpe has been awful, but I still think their better option is to ride with him at short.
I do too. I don't know that I've ever seen less competitive at bats outside of like more than one game in a long time. I mean, you can't even hold on to the bat.
Yeah.
It's three times it's flown out of his hand.
Anthony's in Tinton Falls, New Jersey. What's up, Ant?
Hey, BT, Sal, how are we?
Good.
How's it going?
Hey, how are you, man?
Another day we live. Another day we live.
Mm-hmm.
So just make it quick. I want your thoughts, both of you guys, on, you know, the Yankees situational baseball. That's between, I just feel like Boone, maybe it's the guys in our lineup, but I kind of have the old, you know, coaching aspect. I did a little coaching myself, you know, not saying I'm the best, but getting the runner over, you know, bunting situations. I don't know if we have the guys in place for that. I just seen, you know, maybe in this whole season and in a couple of the series, there could be times that, you know, we could get guys over because it puts pressure on the pitchers also. And the next guy up has to do their job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you just playing into, it's a good call. It's a common refrain from Yankee fans. I think it's gotten better. Remember when we were lamenting, and I don't know the exact record, but it was the worst in baseball. And it was for a couple of years encompassing where the Yankees extra inning record was just unimaginably bad.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
what
people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.